Morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to take a little detour from the series we've been studying on the resurrection encounters. I'm going to talk about healing. Specifically, the healer named Jesus. I'll focus a little bit on healthcare because, there's a special day coming up this next week called Nurses Day, Nurses Week, also Hospital Week. There's about 50 different, seems like, things we're celebrating healthcare for in this next week. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing, was born on May 12th. And though any and every, almost every occupation that people can have can be used of God, there's something specific about healthcare that I think is close to the heart of God. And it probably has to do something that it brings healing. It brings healing. See, Jesus didn't come just to save our souls. Though that is important. He came to bring healing. In Isaiah 53, we see it mentioned that I'm used to the King James Version, though it says the punishment. And probably most of you have heard it, by his stripes we are healed. By those things he suffered, he came to bring us healing. The early church was known for healing and for praying for the sick, as the church is today. When Jesus sent forth his disciples, he sent them out and commanded them to preach, but also to heal. And the church has been known through the centuries as a people that care for the weak, care for those who are hurting, care for the sick and the dying. A lot of cultures around the world in the past, and maybe even still today, look at those who are sick and dying and say, they're not useful anymore, they're not productive, just let them go. Get rid of them. They're just not any useful. But the church has always looked at human beings as people that God cares about, whether they're wealthy and healthy or broke and sick, even caring for them when they're dying. Jesus talks about caring for those who are oppressed, those who are sick. The Bible talks about it. Our own history as Methodists. We have John Wesley, if you're a Methodist and you don't know that name, we'll talk later. Wrote a book called Primitive Physique, published in 1747. He described his book as a plain and easy way of curing most diseases. Set down cheap, safe, and easy medicines. Easy to be known, easy to procure, easy to apply by plain and unlettered men. The book, by the way, was a bestseller. It was reprinted several times, and he gave most of the money away. Wesley said, I have purposely set down several remedies for each disorder. Not only because all are not equal to ease the procured or easily procured at all times and in all places, but likewise because medicine which cures one man would not always cure another of the same distemper, nor were a cure the same at all times. Reminds me of somebody who said, you got to remember they call it practicing medicine because sometimes they just don't know. They're doing the best they can. And the church has been known through the years as a place of healing. Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing, saw nursing as a calling one did for God. In the modified Hippocratic Oath that was created with her name, it says, "I solemnly pledge myself before God and in the presence of these assemblies." Healing and this idea that we have today of what medicine is founded basically in the church. It's a place of help, a place of healing. Because why? Because Jesus was a healer. Yes, Jesus' primary mission was to save our souls. But over and over, when we see Jesus healing, we read about healing as being part of this redemptive package that God's giving to us. But also we read in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, and in other places, "What good for a man is to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" A reminder that Jesus said that making sure that we were right with God was more important than when we were just healthy and wealthy and wise. I believe God wants to heal, but there are times when God doesn't. Because there is something greater going on. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. When we think about the ways Jesus heals through supernaturally, directly and supernaturally. Jesus heals through doctors and medicine. Jesus heals through the human body's natural healing power. Judy talked about that today. There may have been prayer too in there, but she was doing what she was supposed to do, and the body did what it was supposed to do. In fact, sometimes if you talk to physicians or nurses, they'll say their job isn't to bring healing, but to help the body heal itself. But also Jesus sometimes brings healing by bestowing grace in the midst of suffering. I don't know. I don't like that one. I don't really like that one. I don't like to have to think that God's going to give me sufficient grace to suffer. But it's in Scripture. And Jesus heals through victorious dying. Because there are sometimes it's time to pass on. It's time that we can face death. And the thing is, Christians, we don't have to face it with fear. We can face it in confidence. We can face it knowing that we're going to be okay. Because this world is broken. God's going to make it better later, but right now it's not where it's supposed to be. So we need Jesus to heal. I believe it's always Jesus' will to heal. But how he does it, that's sometimes is a mystery. Sort of like some areas of our faith. Like, how do you perfectly express the Trinity? It is. God's bigger than me. He can be three in one if he wants to, even if it's beyond my thinking. But then again, there are a lot of things beyond what I can consider. So if I have to perfectly understand it first, then I can't use electricity. Because I think electrons ought to stay around their little thing and not go anywhere. But they do. And how does that work? I don't know. Somebody's explained it to me several times, and I still haven't quite fathomed it. I have an easier time with the Trinity. For those of you who don't have who have problems with the Trinity and don't with electricity, we're different, okay? But a lot of times when we think of healing, we think of supernatural healing, that supernatural touch. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his books, talks about the fact that he had a parishioner that came and they were came forward and they asked for prayer and they prayed for them. They were getting ready to fly, I believe it was to Mayo, to get a second opinion because things weren't looking good. They had the x-rays of the tumor that was in their body, and as they flew there, they were just trusting that God would take care of things. And when they got there, Mayo took the x-rays, took x-rays again. They compared the x-rays. They called back the hospital they had come from and said, are these the right x-rays? Because there's nothing there now. One set of x-rays says it was there. The next set of x-rays said it wasn't. And it was something very clear. So what happened? God healed him. The person did eventually die, but not of that disease. In my own life, I have seen at least two, that I know for sure, supernatural healings. Complete bang. Didn't have a problem with that ever again. You've all heard me, if you've been around long, you've heard me talk about it. One person, it was for migraines. I prayed and they're instantly healed from migraines. And I still suffer from migraines. My daughter still suffers from migraines. I still suffer from migraines. Why does God do one and not the other? That's above my pay grade. But God does do supernatural work. The question we need to ask is not, is it God's will to heal? But we should pray that God heals according to his will. Because sometimes the way he heals isn't the way we like it. Healthcare, modern healthcare, deals primarily not with the first one, but the final four. Medicine, the miracle of nature, the miracle of sufficient grace, the fact that modern medicine can help you deal with the pain and the suffering. And modern medicine can help you, and healthcare workers help you when you're going through that time when you're making that final crossing. Spent 9 years working with hospice. A great work. You can't help as far as heal them, make them fully whole again, but you can help make them comfortable and help them through this last process. And God gives each person the grace. And why does God choose some of these rather than others? I don't know. I know when it talks about the miracle of sufficient grace, Paul the Apostle came and said, God, I've got this thorn in my flesh. He didn't tell us what it was. God, I want you to take it away from me. And God said, no, you need it because this is my paraphrase, you'll get a big head otherwise. I was like, that sounds a little cruel, except I'll tell you what. I had an industrial accident. My head met a steel I-beam, and I have proof that my head is not as hard as some people think it is. Because I did not dent. Don't look at me like that, Dale. Maybe that too. There was no dent in that. I remember standing about 20 feet away, and I remember being hauled away from it, and everything in between, years later, I still have no clue what happened. I heard about what happened, and I'm glad I don't remember. Since that time, though, I've had the migraines. Before that, I thought, migraine? You got a migraine? Just get over it. It's a headache, right? I don't say that anymore. And you know what? An amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, once I started getting these things, I started understanding what people meant about pain. I understood now how hard it could be. Because I still remember one of the worst times of my life that I ever had was with a migraine. Laying on the bathroom floor, praying, God, either heal me or kill me, or just do it quick. Because I don't know if I can take this. By the way, you notice I'm here, so I made it. God taught me, guess what? Some humility. Gave me compassion. through what I suffered. See, I needed his sufficient grace to go through the suffering so I could be the person God wanted me to be. We don't like suffering, but sometimes it's the best thing for us. We don't like the last one, a lot of times the miracle of the victorious crossing, because we're like, I want just to be okay. I don't want my friend, loved one, or my friend to die. But sometimes, when we don't understand why, that is the best path. In the Bible, King Hezekiah was sick, and the prophet came into him and said, "Get your house in order. You're going to die. Have a nice day." By the way, I'm paraphrasing that. That's not exactly what it says. And he's walking out, and Hezekiah says, "God, I've been a good king. You can't let me die." Again, this is my paraphrase of the whole thing. And God says, I will touch you. Hezekiah came back, said God was going to give you 15 years, and he created a poultice. What did he do? He put medicine on him. And Hezekiah lived for another 15 years. And let me tell you something, it would have been better off he'd have died. In that 15 years period, he had a son that wouldn't have been born if he'd have died. That son was named Manasseh. He was the worst king Israel ever had. In fact, generations later, there was a revival, and the revival was something like, Scripture says, was something that they had never had before. And God said, if it had not been for Manasseh, I would have pardoned Israel from what was coming, the Babylonian captivity. But Manasseh's influence over 50 years of reigning had so corrupted the foundations of Israel that even though they had a revival that changed much of the surface, the hearts of most of the people were still in paganism. And when Hezekiah finally died, he died being someplace God didn't want him to be. Sometimes we think the worst thing that can happen is a death. But God knows sometimes the best thing that can happen is a death. The thing is, we don't see everything. We don't see all the whole picture. We have to trust the one who does, and that's God. We do what we know to do to help those who are going through hard times. We have to help those and should help those who are suffering and in pain. But ultimately, we've got to trust God and pray, as one person would say, not God, if it be thy will, but Lord, heal according to your will. Because God's way of healing is not always the way we want it. And God can heal in ways that are amazing. And sometimes, when God does things the way he does, he allows us to touch lives we would never touch otherwise. The last 8 years of my grandmother's life was spent in a bed, completely unable to move her legs to walk. Before that, she had a crippling arthritis, and if she couldn't get up and move around, hardly. And you could hear her move, and when she moved, you hear crack, grinding noises. It's like, oh my goodness. I said, Grandma, why do you keep pushing it? She said, because if I ever stop, I'll never be able to walk again. The doctor gave her some medicine. She had a bad reaction. She spent 2 weeks in the hospital, never walked again. However, in those years that she spent in those bed, she had nurses coming out to help her. And every nurse she prayed with, she talked with, and some of them came to Christ. She would have never met those people if she had been healthy. She would have never, they would have never come into our house if she'd have been healthy. See, God works in ways we don't understand. And I can tell you today, though Grandma didn't like having to be bedfast and didn't like having to have somebody take care of all her needs, believe me, she wanted to take care of herself. Because she liked her house being just right. And now she wasn't able to do that. She couldn't always understand. But she always kept her eyes on God. And God used her even in that position. And God can use us, if we'll let Him, wherever we're at. Maybe God's answer for us right now is to have a supernatural healing. Maybe, if we're praying according to God's will, the best thing for us, for someone else, is to pass. Maybe we just need to endure. But whatever it is, we need to trust God because He's the one that understands the whole picture. He's the one who sees it all. He's the one who knows what's the right thing. And today we're gonna do a blessing of the hands because though, like I said, God can use almost any work. Those who work in healthcare have a special work. And we don't always recognize, we think of it as a profession. But I have to agree with Florence Nightingale's idea. It's a calling from God. In one very real sense, they're carrying out the ministry of Jesus. Because they're bringing healing. I don't know if we got a lot, but I know at least got one person I'm going to embarrass. But if you work in healthcare, I don't care if you're a nurse, you're an aide, or if you work in the office, because let me tell you something, sometimes I think you office personnel got to put up with more than anybody else, because you got to deal with the paperwork. But it all needs to be done. So if you work in healthcare today, I want you to come forward. The work of the nurse is sacred, not just this week, but every week. Through every hour of every shift, the hands of a nurse are steady as they administer medication. Heal with procedures, start an IV, bring healing to a broken. The heart of the nurse is courageous, not just during a pandemic. That calls you to put your well-being behind a veil of protective equipment while you push through any feeling that resembles fear. The hands of the nurses are calloused and cut, worn from constant washing, sanitizing, and wearing gloves. And more gloves. The eyes of nurses are eyes of compassion, not wincing at the sight of wounds, but creatively finding resources to bind them. The hands of nurses are sore from charting, writing. I did some of that in healthcare, I know. Typing long emails, comforting families that can't be present. The soul of the nurse is fiercely gentle, calm with wisdom, into a space terrified by mortality. You stare in the face of death every day sometimes, offer a reassuring smile, or the presence of solemn strength that does not crumble. The hands of the nurses are beautiful, strong, and gentle as they bring new life, yet save those whose time has not yet come, and hold the hands who are breathing their last breath. We honor your sacrifices of energy, time, heart, freedom. As the world seems overwhelming, we honor your willingness to offer your gifts and graces to the most vulnerable, frightened, sometimes funny, and freeing moments of being human. If you'd put forth your hands today. May these be the hands of Jesus to bring healing. May these be the hands of Jesus to bring healing. May these be the hands of Jesus to bring healing. You do the work of Jesus. As much as I ever do, you do. Dear Father, I ask you to bless these ones here and the lives they touch. May they be the hands of Jesus. And Lord, may we love and support and care for them as they care for the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. We never know from day to day for those who work in healthcare what they may face. But like all of us, they're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So let us do that today. Let us be the hands of Jesus to the world around us in whatever mission God's given you. But those who work in healthcare, those of you who put up with us when we're sick, thank you. Dear God, I thank you for your blessings and for the ways you wash over us. And now, Father, as we join our voices together, we praise you and thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together. Go forth this week standing firm in Jesus, and may his love surround you. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Go forth and be the hands of Jesus.